Okay, we're on lesson six, blessed are the gentle. If you're reading the King James or New King James, it's blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we're on Roman numeral three there, the next step. And the next step, what we're talking about here, we're talking about, at least in the first four, it's a progression mode. First four Beatitudes here. Well, we got gentleness we're talking about, and it's followed by the first two of our Beatitudes. And we see, you know, in what I'm calling God's plan for salvation, because it's the way God saves us by having a proper heart toward Him, okay? And not necessarily what we would think of the plan of salvation, but yes, what we think about the plan of salvation, in that we got to recognize that we're poor. Poor in spirit. And this is where we have to be. When we confess Jesus as our Lord, we do it because we recognize we're sinful. And in that respect. And then what do? We go to the next step. We mourn. We confess our sins. Okay? We recognize we're separated from God because of sin. And then we come to this next step, which is indeed to be gentle. You know, you think about you die. We got to achieve righteousness, and it comes through God's grace. But we have to consider that we kind of take another step once, you know, we recognize our sins. And we remember Matthew chapter 27. We remember Judas and his great sin. And what was that sin he did? And just tell me, rather than turn to the scriptures over, what happened? Okay, betrayed Jesus. And then what did he do with the 30 pieces of silver?
He gave it back.
He didn't go to Jesus, did he? He went back to the people that sold him out, in a sense, that he sold out Jesus. You know, so he went to the wrong person, too, if you think about it in that respect. And what does he do? He has remorse. He does have, the scripture says he has remorse. But he goes the wrong direction with his remorse. And, you know, so we see that we're taking a spiritual journey, and we can't just stop at remorse. We've got to take another step. And this is where gentleness comes in. And, you know, we come face to face that we're in the presence of God, and we're and His people, and we got to refuse to allow our strength to take over, like we're studying with somebody. Maybe we know a little more than them. We come to meet somebody in life. Hello, we're on lesson six, Blessed are the Gentle. I had on my lesson there, you know, we couldn't be as Judas, which of course I said he had remorse, but we have to be as Peter. Now I've got those verses there, and of course we know Peter's sin as well. And I imagine everybody's heard a sermon, because you've got Matthew chapter 26, and then you go right into Matthew chapter 27, and you've got Judas, and then you go right back and you go to Peter and say need to be like Peter, of course, because here's a man who had sins as well. He denied Jesus, and he wept, but he didn't stop there, of course. He went on, and I have listed there Acts chapter 2, and we know that he preached the sermon there on the day of Pentecost. But instead of reading all that, go to 1 Peter, something that he said. And this kind of helps me make the point I was making a little bit earlier. 1 Peter chapter 2 and we'll begin in verse 24. No, verse 25 will be fine. For you are continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the guardian of your souls. This was the same situation Peter was in. He had remorse for what he did, but he returned to the guardian of his soul. And he's telling other people the same thing as well, because he hasn't forgot his condition. You know, Peter doesn't say, be like me, do as I do. As I was telling my foreman a while back, don't do as I do as I say. Okay? And the point being is we got to if we're talking to somebody and we're teaching somebody, we got to recognize that we're sinful people and we've been there before, and we try to build and we allow a little pride to get into us. Maybe somebody's listening to us and, oh man, you're doing a good job teaching or something like that. We need to keep ourselves at the level that we're just sinners, okay, and push them toward God. And that is part of gentleness. That is part of our meekness, that we don't put trust in ourselves. We keep on recognize that we're poverty-stricken. Without Jesus, we're nothing. Without God, we're nothing. We got to remember, I'm nothing. God is everything. And this kind of brings us to our last point here, inheriting the earth. And notice I got here Psalms 37, verse 11. Okay. And in Psalms 37:11, what's unique about that verse? Who can remember?
This is what Jesus said.
Quoted. Right. Exactly. But the humble will inherit the land in my version. If you're reading from the New King James, it'll say the meek shall inherit the land. And we've got these idea of gentle, meek, humble, these words being passed around when we're looking for a definition of this word. And we use this, you know, I use this whole chapter here to define this word, because it's spoken with the context around it, of course, by David, but the meek shall inherit the land. He states that, okay? And throughout, we looked throughout this whole chapter, and we earlier on looked at verses that associated this idea of meekness and this idea of gentleness, this idea of being humble, together with other words. But we associated here with some thoughts that surrounded this verse. And we looked at, of course, 3 and 5, and that's where I got my my definition of trusting in the Lord. And the main reason I do that is because I go back like to Moses. I look at his character. I looked at David, at his character, the man who wrote this, wrote the thing that Jesus quoted about blessed are the meek, blessed are the gentle. And we see flaws in these men's character. But all the time, they turned around and went back to God in every respect, especially David in his sin. You know, he went back to God. He gave himself up to God. He put his trust in God in that respect. And when we looked at this lesson, we looked at, you know, in verse 3, we had the idea of cultivating. You can just look at your lesson there, cultivating faithfulness. We read verse 4 that he talked about delighting in the Lord. Verse 5, committing their way to the Lord. And, of course, trusting in the Lord there as well. Verse 7 and 34, waiting on the Lord and taking refuge in Him. And this waiting on the Lord, as we said, it's just like when Isaiah uses this word. It doesn't mean like, okay, God, you're back behind me now. Come on, catch up. It's this idea that you're waiting on Him. You're putting Him in the lead. You're allowing Him to take the lead. And that all these things have to do with, you know, this idea of putting your trust in the Lord. Then don't worry over others, you know, 1 and 2 and 7 and 9. You know, we don't worry about others. We're content with what we have. Again, those things are trust in the Lord. If you look at everything here, they know the Lord holds their hand. Trust in the Lord. The meek have God's law in their heart. Well, they trust in the Lord. It's God's law that matters to them. Speaks of wisdom and justice. You know, this type of person who does this, we're not surprised when this person uses wisdom and justice in their speech, because it comes from God. And they've entrusted God in that way. And he's going to be a man of peace. And a man will have a posterity as well. And when we think about inheriting the earth, has somewhat to do with, we might say, posterity. Jesus uses this picture, okay, of Psalms 37, and this is an Old Testament, you know, in the Old Testament, it's Psalm, and you know, we think of the Old Testament, they had the land promise, and we're talking about inheriting the earth. What did that mean to the Jews? What did the land promise mean to the Jews? It can be answered a million ways, and you're probably going to be right, every one of them. I make things right, you know. I don't like to do like some people and scare you where you won't answer.
Well, it was the land of milk and honey. It was what was promised to it Abraham, was. And what was promised to them in Egypt, that he would take them to the land, and he would give them the land, but they were to, you know, obey him, of course. But it was because of the kind of government it was. It's like heaven is to us. Mm-hmm. It's the rest.
Yeah, it was a theocratic nation and everything. Mm-hmm. So they associated exactly what you said. It came from the promise as far back to Abraham. And the land of their, he was to leave the land of his sojourning. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I was chewing a bag
that keeps... Okay. That's fine. I thought maybe you had another answer to the question. So here they had this promise, but they associated it with a military rule, because that's exactly what we see in Joshua and Judges. They run in there and everything, and they take conquest, and they fight out the enemy. And, you know, God is taking judgment on those evil nations there as well. Okay, so it's a lot of things going on here. But when we go back and read Psalms 37, we see it really wasn't about military conquest at all. It's always been about faithfulness to God. It's always been about putting your trust in God. And every time we see that the nations lost their trust in God, bad things happened to their nation. When their leaders didn't lead them in a proper way or something like that, it was that way. So we see here that it's always been about a humble submission to God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Notice here, we're fellow heirs. Or your version may read joint heirs with Christ. And so we have an inheritance with Him. We see that. And if we go back, we read this last week. Let's tie it all in together, because Psalms chapter 2, the Messianic Psalm, where God's talking about His anointed. And Psalms chapter 2, verse 8. Psalms chapter 2, verse 8. And it says, "Ask of me," and this is God saying, "Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession." Notice there, the very ends of the earth as your possession. What are we talking about here when we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount? What specifically are we trying to do about our nature? About what's this teaching us? We are in Christ. We're in the what of heaven? Kingdom. Trying to be in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, I'm going to get it here pretty soon. We're in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And we're talking about a kingdom here. We're talking about inheritance of a kingdom here. We said we're joint heirs, and here God talking to His anointed, "And I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession." Okay? So we see here there's the ends of the earth. So we got to remember our relationship here with Jesus Christ, joint heirs with Him. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. Just that first part. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. So here This ties in the last verse. We had inheritance, but now it's given to him to reign over. He's given the nations. He's given the whole earth, and we're going to reign as well as citizens of Christ's kingdom, as citizens of the Anointed One's kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we're working toward here. And I'm going to, this one, we're seated in heavenly places according to Ephesians 2, 6, and 7. I'm going to just kind of, I think y'all recognize that terminology there. I got this proper relationship with the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go to that one instead. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this ties all this into together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 21 through 23. So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or all things present or all things to come, all things belong to you. And notice here, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. This ties in that whole relationship, everything we've just read. We're citizens in the kingdom. That's what we're working and striving toward. That's what, when we read all these Beatitudes, that we're trying to recognize that we're poor in spirit, that blessed are those who mourn, and now blessed are the gentle. You shall inherit the earth. That's a proper relationship with the Lord. But we still kind of wonder, okay, how do we inherit it? What does that mean and everything? And I think this second part here gives us a great understanding. It's the proper relationships of things on this earth. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both in having abundance and suffering need. Who's speaking here?
Paul.
Paul, and of course, he's in prison. And in this, he knows how to get along. He knows his relationship to the world. And he knows why he's put here in the world. If anybody knows that, the man who spoke to Jesus on the road to Damascus would know that. And he's teaching us something here. He's putting everything in its proper place. And that's what we have to do. We're given this earth for a short while. We read earlier in Ecclesiastes, you know, that we're to enjoy life while we're on this earth. But we have to do it with a proper perspective of things. Look at Colossians 3, verse 2. We're right there. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, Colossians 3, 2. Yeah. It says, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Now, here we go. Paul again. And he's giving us some help here. We inherit the earth, but we're not to set our mind on things of the earth. You know, my father, who wasn't a Christian, he gave me a great example of this when we was up in East Texas and all the boys had inherited land. All the whiteheads got property boys. Daddy was the fourth and youngest boy, and there came some squabble when his father had already died and there wasn't anything written. But 1/4 of the land was still left, and was supposedly supposed to go to my father, but it wasn't written down. And some of the sisters complained. And my daddy took the high road and brought us down here to Houston. So that's how I ended up down here. Because he wasn't going to squabble over that. He wasn't going to let that bring problems in the family. And to me, that's an amazing thing, that he has love for his family. That, and turned out, I didn't learn this till later in life, that sister was his best friend, and before my daddy died was still his best friend. And my daddy bought property from another uncle who'd had no children he sold them for half price, you know. It stayed in the name of the family. So my daddy taught me a great example here, but not a great example as this right here. We may not have any property whatsoever, but we've got everything. We have to put everything in perspective, and we have to look forward to something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this one's... probably the chapter 6. Yes, thank you. I'm glad somebody's looking, because I'd hate to read 4 and 4 and be wondering where I was going. Chapter 6, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions and hardships and distress, in beatings and imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and hunger, in purity and knowledge, in patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of the truth, in the power of God, by weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarding as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. It's a proper relationship with everything in this world. We're put here for a while, just for a while. We have nothing, but within the kingdom of God, we have everything. We inherit the earth. We know the proper way to use the earth, proper understanding that we're only here, put here for a short while. And people who have everything, you know, it's kind of like old Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try. And that is true. People who want so much just seem to be most often the most unhappy people. But when you look at Christians, when you look at citizens of the kingdom who really understand the relationship of what God gives them and what they have in relationship in Jesus Christ, they have the earth. They have all of it. They have the whole picture. They know what's good in it. They see what's bad in it. And they take the good things. And they look forward to the better thing. And third proper relationship with our brethren, Mark chapter 10. This is sometimes a hard thing for many people. And this might be a hard thing for me. I'm sometimes think I'm blessed beyond all means, although my father is, you know, dead. He, like I said, he wasn't a Christian, but he is dead. And I had a brother who died as well who wasn't a Christian. But all my family that I'm around that are white heads are Christians right now. So I'm not sure I don't know how I'd react about this. Go back to 28 of Mark 10. Peter began to say to him, Behold, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times much now in this present age. Notice that as well. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms along with persecutions in the age to come. Eternal life. So we see here, even in this life, we've got a spiritual family mentioned in there. It is talked about, you know, mother, father, children. Well, that's your family. You know, that's just your family. And what a blessed people we are that we come here, have a little family meeting on Wednesday night. And that, you know, when somebody's suffering, there's somebody who cares for you. And, well, you know, you got family and all that's nice and everything. And sometimes we work so hard, and I'm talking about the fleshly family. We work so hard to try to make things right, and it just doesn't work and all that. well, you know, it's kind of like the old saying, you can't choose your family. You know, that's the ones that just happen to be there, and that's the way it was. But brethren, choose one another, because they go through one direction, that's through Jesus Christ. They enter into His kingdom. In that respect, they choose one another. And so we're people blessed beyond all means in that respect. And the fourth is in heaven. And I put here a new heaven and a new earth. Of course, we found it in this verse here. And it says, and in the age to come, eternal life. But I'm going to go ahead and read some of these. You can't read enough about heaven, I don't think. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I forgot to add 2 Peter 3:13 on there. I'm sorry about that. We'll go back to 3, because we've got a blessed there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. 2 Peter 3:13. Still back in 1 Peter. But according to His promise, we are looking... Well, let's go back to verse 11. Since all things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening and the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And we talked earlier about that's what we're looking forward to. You know, a new heaven and new earth. I don't believe that's going to be as the Jehovah's Witness. You know, they say that the fire is going to come and just burn off the top of the earth and God's going to remake it and only, what, 144,000 go to heaven and the rest of the Christians will be here upon this earth. I believe it just simply means new heavens and new earth. Talk about the old heavens, the old earth will be done away with, our old home, our old abode, and we're going to have a new heavens, a new earth, a new home, a new abode where righteousness dwells. And where righteousness dwells is a place where sin will not dwell. And so we'll have this heaven. And when we look forward to that, it helps us to inherit the earth, to have a proper relationship with what we're given here on this life here. And I got a little statement here at the end. God and Satan both promise the world, but only God can deliver. We remember Satan took Jesus up, you know, when he was being tempted, and he said, look out here, and he points to all the kingdoms of earth and said, all these can be yours. And what did Jesus tell him over and over and over? It is written. Okay, he turned back to God's Word. He trusted God. Okay? He trusted His Word. And we got here God, Jesus here telling us, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone wishes to come to Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses his life for My sake, it's supposed to be 26, but we'll get all this in, will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So we see here, we got to deny ourselves and take up the cross. We got to indeed put our trust in God. And the people who try to gain the world, they're just going to lose it. They're just going to lose their soul. And that's how we have a proper relationship with the world. We understand we're people made in the image of God, that we have a soul. And we can enjoy life within that soul in this life. And we may have bad things happen to us. And if we have the worst of things happen to us, we're no worse than Paul and his problems and what he was looking forward to. And he took comfort in, you know, he had two choices. What was it? One was to go to God, go to heaven. Y'all remember what the other choice was? Stay here. Why? For the benefit of his brethren. And we talked about that when we talked about the third relationship with our brethren. Whatever you got, whatever problems you got, of course, take it to God. But we're blessed people that we can take it to our brethren as well, our family here on this earth. Any other comments concerning how the inheriting the earth? If somebody's got some different ideas, maybe different thoughts, or
to be clear, the inheriting the earth is not literally things that might be good for us, although they are good here. We have blessings, but inherit the earth is home in heaven. Is that what you're talking about?
It's more than that. We inherit the earth. I believe we have the blessings, if I didn't say that word.
Okay,
we're saying, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we look at what theirs is, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is here now as well as in the future. Now, we'll fully come to when we see Jesus, you know, and everything will be made clear if you'll allow me, as we'll talk about in the next lesson. Then we'll get a full realization of all of it, okay? And yes, heaven is the ultimate goal. But we're, you know, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We're comforted in this life as well. So, you know, I don't want to just push it all off on the new heavens, new earth, being just heaven itself. We got to recognize we got blessings in this life. Even if we are being persecuted, even if all bad things are happening to us. I went to a funeral with my friend today, heard some beautiful words, just to hear that they was both divorced. And I don't know the reason for it. You know, I didn't know it at the time. It's one of the workmates, and his wife had passed away. A really, really sad thing. But we may be going through these things ourselves. But we have heaven as our goal, as what you're saying, Linda. Yes, sir.
I think also when you think about inheriting the earth and think about being a Christian or a child of God, and when you think about our Father created the earth.
Exactly.
It's His.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, as far as inheritance, we may not have those things now. We have access to things. We have things in this earth that we use, the blessings that we
right.
have. Someone who is striving after riches and striving after worldly gain, whatever you want to call it, in that sense, you know, typically they never have enough.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
never have enough.
Right.
And so it's what do they really have? And they're trying to get more and more, but it's not theirs to get, and it's. The other saying that I, not saying, phrase I remember, being a master of your desires rather than a slave to your desires. So, you know, when we put our trust in God, then our desires are what God wants for us and what God wants. And at that point, the meekness, the gentleness, the trust, we have that in God. And at that point, we become masters of our own desire,
mm-hmm.
based on God and based on Jesus and His Word, as opposed to a slave to our desires of trying to get more and more and more for ourselves.
That's exactly right. I mean, and when I look at Paul, I see a man who was totally spiritual. And I go through all this, and sometimes I don't come back and tie it together as well as I should. And I think that's, in some of the things you're saying, it kind of brought me back to the point. Because I had made the point earlier that Israel was looking for a physical land. But we're looking for a spiritual land. When we become so spiritual that we can put other things just out of the way, and that's, I think, that our biggest struggle, that we will truly inherit the land. We'll know what we were meant to be put here on this earth for. will be like, as I tried to make the example, like Brother Paul, who he had two choices. One was good for the brethren, and one was good for him. You know, so he recognized being here was a good thing because he could strengthen his brethren and work with his brethren and all those things. He's seen the blessings upon this earth because we have what he talked about, bringing it back to that relationship with God here on this earth. It's a hard thing to just simply say this is what inherit the earth to me means. But I think it's just the blessings we have as heirs with Jesus Christ in this life and in the life to come.
Based on our trust in Jesus and God, we should have a tremendous amount of strength within ourselves. And that fits in with the progression you were talking about.
Right, right.
Poor in spirit, mourn. And then you have, once you mourn, you've realized your sin, you mourn, you turn to God. But when you do that, then you've got strength, God's strength, along with yours, to endure anything. And anything can keep progressing.
I'm going to say amen, and that takes us right to the next lesson. Unless somebody else got some comments. Because, like I say, it's steps. I believe these are steps, and especially these first four. When we get to, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be satisfied. Excuse me. Excuse me just a second here. Okay. Matthew 5, verse 6. Talking about hunger and thirsting here. And I've just got this first phrase, no one ever achieved anything worthwhile in life without motivation or a burning desire. And it's application made here to a spiritual principle. Now I'm gonna do something I haven't been doing too much, but I'm gonna brag on Tammy. You know, when we had our four children, of course Jamie come along, this girl, and I'm gonna brag on her. She got $20,000+ in scholarships. You know, she's real smart and, you know, just had some good ways about her. I'll just say that. Elvira and I just couldn't get over that she won English awards over and over because neither one of us could speak it very well. And she's got a little better excuse than me. But anyway, then, you know, of course, we get Amy, and we're blessed to have her. And, well, James came along, too. And then we got Tammy, you know, and she was the baby. And besides that, somebody else has to take care of James. But, no, Tammy come along. She was the baby, and, you know, the baby's supposed to be the spoiled, rotten child and everything. She was a strange one. You know, when she was young, I thought she wasn't too bright. You know, I did. I just thought she was. I mean, and coming from me, that's a put-down, you know. And, but then, you know, she was this way. She always wanted to know. But she'd go up to Craig and, but poor Michael, right? Poor Michael. Michael would, he'd want to argue with her and say, no, this is it. I'm telling you. And in the end, he'd tell her the answer. And me and Elvira, we was like, we thinking like, well, she's just getting the answer out of him. She don't know, so she's just getting the answer. You know, and she'll endure all that to get the answer. Because Michael can be real excited sometimes, we'll call it. Well, Tammy, we found out. I found out, I was wrong all along. Tammy wanted to know. Tammy was maybe more motivated than Jamie. You know, she was our first child. I mean, any books you've ever read, your first child's the most motivated. The parents got complete control, dominance. There's no other little kids to mess everything up. That's what the experts say. And maybe they're right. But the little one, the baby's not supposed to be that way. But Tammy was that way. And but we was worried about her because, you know, she dated a few guys. And then she found Josh. She found a guy who was just as motivated has this burning desire. Man wants to be a doctor, and I think he's third in his class. I'm doing a little more bragging there. But the point being, though, applying this to a spiritual principle as I have this here, they're having people in their house, they're studying, and they're doing all this, and in all their busy life, she's working. You know, she went up there and found a job in just a short time, and working, and Josh going to school, and all this kind of stuff. They're studying the Bible. I have high hopes for that young couple. And they're hunger and thirsting after it. And they have a burning desire within them to be better. And this next point, more than just an occasional craving, Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2. So if that bragging didn't sound much like bragging, don't ever ask me to brag on it. We got, it's a song here that we sing, and I think it's pasted in this song book here. They got it from this here. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. And this idea, well, let's see, verse 2 as well. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And here's this idea of this animal and panning. And, I've never run in the woods and caught a deer. I'm wondering, I guess, who's this here? I don't even know exactly who. Sons of Korah or something. Or anyway, I don't know who witnessed this and everything. But we do got a little puppy dog right now. And he's good little puppy dog. He's stupid. You know what I'm saying? He's just a lot of fun. Vera got him a ball the other day, and I went out in the backyard, and she wants him to play with it, nose it around, you know what I'm saying, and play with it. I kicked that ball out there, and kicked that ball, and kicked that ball, and kicked that ball, and kicked that ball, till his old tongue was dragging out, but he never did push that ball, but he always run over to it. Just because he's a puppy, and he's, do the things that dogs do, and he just that way. He had a craving and a desire to play, but he didn't understand what we was trying to get him to do. But he was just happy to have us out there. But look at chapter 63, verse 1. And this is the desire we have to have for righteousness. O God, you are my God, and I shall... 63:1. O God, you are my God, and I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you, in the dry and weary land where there is no water. And Isaiah 26:9 is more of this same type of imagery here. And, I got this next verse here. Hunger and thirst are the most intense of all appetites. Anybody know what Matthew 6:33 says? Seek ye what? And his kingdom. And his righteousness. And all these things should be added to you. Seek ye first. First, we got somebody who's seeking. Okay? And what are they seeking? They're seeking something first. Okay? They're seeking his kingdom. Okay? What is the kingdom? The kingdom, I like to just simple word, is rule. And we're seeking God's rule over us. And his righteousness and all these things should be added unto you. Okay? If we're putting it first, then that's the buzzer. That's what I thought. I looked up, seen the clock. We'll pick up here, and we're going to talk about different kinds of righteousness. So that's where we're at. D.